Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Blessed be your name for a time like this. Thank you for this day you have made for us to rejoice and be glad in. We worship you and we honor you. In Jesus' precious name. Wave your hands and give him the praise. One more time, welcome three people. Tell them welcome to the presence of the Lord. And your life will never remain the same.
Whatever I do, whatever I do, it's no longer
be your name, Lord. We give you the praise and we give you the honor. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Somebody wave your hands and give the Lord the praise. Give him the honor. You are happy to be here. Say amen. Very, very quickly tonight, I perceive that there is a prayer revival that is going on in our midst, and not just a prayer revival, but I believe a total revival. That is why that little child can have that kind of encounter she's talking about. And we're going to push it forward tonight with the subject, the profit or dividends of prayer. This is likely to be part one because the subject is massive. The profit, the dividends of prayer. Luke chapter 9. Verse 29 to verse 35. Jesus on the mountain of transfiguration. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His raiment was white and glistering. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias, who appeared in glory and spake of his disease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. When they were awake, they saw his glory and the two men that stood with him. It came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles. One for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them. And they feared as they entered into the cloud. The Lord bless his word. And then there came a voice out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, hear him. The Lord bless his word. In Jesus' name. Our objective tonight, very simply, is like the title, understanding the dividends or the profit of prayer. Understanding the dividends, the profit of prayer. Now, scriptures make it clear that the place of prayer is the place of seeking God. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Pray and seek my face. So the place of prayer is the place of seeking God, is the place of seeking the face of God. Side by side with that, the scriptures make it clear that we are not called to seek God in vain. Isaiah 45 and in verse 19. Isaiah 45 and in verse 19. He said, I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. So, at the place of prayer, we are seeking God. And the Bible makes it clear that we are not permitted to seek God in vain. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 said, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. See? So he is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I have not called you to seek me in vain. What is the summary of all of this? It is profitable to be prayerful. Prayerfulness is profitable. We are not wasting our time at the place of prayer. The question then is, what is the profit of the life of prayer? It is profitable to be prayerful. What then is the profit of the life of prayer? I have plenty of them, but we are going to just look at five this evening. And after we have looked at these five, we shall proceed into practical. Number one is access to supernatural power and authority. Access to supernatural power and authority. Prayerful people are powerful people. Anyone who knows prayer must know power. Where there is no prayer, N-O, there is also no power. In Genesis 32 and in verse 28, after Jacob finished that wrestling that was literally prayer, because he was talking to God, I won't let you go until you bless me. The Bible declared him as the prince that has power with God and with man and prevail. The altar of prayer is the altar of power. The place of prayer is the place of power. In Acts of the Apostles chapter 3 and in verse 1, the Bible said concerning Peter and John, they went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. It was that hour of prayer that they jacked up the crippled man that had been crippled for 40 years. The hour of prayer is the hour of power. That was the moment they jacked up that crippled man. James chapter 5 and in verse 16, one of the most powerful men in scripture, his name was Elijah. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous man availeth much. I believe it is the amplified version that said, the continued heartfelt prayer of the uncompromisingly righteous makes tremendous power available. It makes tremendous power available. Therefore, confess your sins one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The heartfelt and persistent prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much when put into action and make effective by God. It is dynamic and can have tremendous power. The prayer of the righteous man makes tremendous power available. Verse 17 said, Elias or Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. So he's deploying power. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3.5 years, 3 years and 6 months, and they prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth for her fruit. So prayerfulness is powerfulness. I want you to bear that in mind. And prayerlessness is powerlessness. Central scripture. Elijah, Paul the apostle, and so forth and so on in scripture, we are men and women who walked in power because they lived in prayer. I see somebody stepping into a higher dimension of power. If you believe that, say aloud, amen. If you believe that, say aloud, amen. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. A man sent his son to me many years ago. And the young man lived with us, observed my life, and he asked me about fasting and prayer. And then he began to do some of the fasting and the exercises. He returned back to his father, and his father said, I don't know what you did to my son, but you transformed his life. He said, this boy is fasting and praying the kind of fast that I have not done in my years of ministry. Somebody in ministry for maybe close to 50 years. Young man, it makes tremendous power available. I decree that power release in Jesus' name. Access to supernatural power. Number two is access to vision, revelation, and direction. The place of prayer is the place of access to vision, is the place of access to revelation, is the place of access to direction. Is it vision for life? Vision for ministry? Vision for your life's endeavor? Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1 all the way to verse 3. He said, I will stand up on my watch, and the place of watching is watch and pray. The watch place is the prayer place. I will stand up on my watch and set me up on my tower, and I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end he shall speak and not lie. Though he tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. The junction of prayer is the junction of vision. I remember that I was at a junction in my life, on my journey of life and destiny, when I went into the bush in Ghana Rob, Calvary School of Ministry, Capro, for 3 days and three nights. And at that junction, there was a download of revelation, of vision, what I'm to do with my life. So what I told you about many years ago, the time for it has come. My wife was praying at home and receiving the same thing. That is why we are all seated here tonight. And that is why everywhere from Canada to America to Ethiopia to Kenya, the fire burns all over the world. 3 days fast, and standing at a place of prayer. When it was time to find out about marriage and who to be settled with, at the altar of prayer again, direction began to come. When we overwhelmed area one and it was time to move in terms of a bigger place that can accommodate us, prayer again. And then in a night vision, the place we are today was revealed. And here we are. The place of prayer is the place of vision, is the place of revelation. Jeremiah chapter 33 and in verse 3. You can look at that. Jeremiah chapter 33 and in verse 3. He said, call unto me and I will answer thee, and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knewest not. Call unto me. Call unto me. The place where we call is the place where we see. I will show you. The place where we call on him is the place of the showing. I will answer thee and I will show you great and mighty things which you did not know before now. In Jeremiah chapter 6 and in verse 16, the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? And walk therein. When you stand, ask. That is prayer. And I will show you the way. And I want to make this very clear to somebody. When we pray, vision can come. Revelation can come. Direction can come. But don't think that your prayer was not answered because the direction did not come immediately. The direction, the vision, the revelation will come in answer to your prayer. Whether it comes immediately or it comes eventually, it will come. But the most important thing is that the prayer should be prayed. That was what happened to Zechariah. He had prayed for a while for God to bless him and his wife with the fruit of the womb. But it appeared like there was no answer until in Luke chapter 2 and from verse 9. You read, alright, start from verse 8. As a matter of fact, let's start from verse 5. Have I missed it? Can we check? Alright, Luke chapter 1 verse 5. He said, there was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the court of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. And they had no child because that Elizabeth was barren, and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of the people were praying without at the time of the incense. Then there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord, that is vision, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And when Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Zechariah wasn't praying. He was offering incense. And thy wife Elizabeth shall bear a son. Zechariah wasn't talking to God at that time concerning having a son. Prayers that were prayed before was producing result, was bringing forth revelation at a later time. Am I communicating? It's possible that you prayed a month ago. It's possible that you prayed 6 months ago. And you are getting a dream tonight in answer to what you prayed before. Is God speaking to anybody here at all? So the altar of prayer makes vision available. It makes revelations available. It makes directions available. Either immediately or eventually, it makes visions available, makes revelations available, and makes directions available. I believe that somebody here is stepping into the realm of visions and revelations. If you are that person, shout the loudest amen. And actually makes directions available. You remember the Master Jesus in Matthew chapter 14? If you look at verse 23, Matthew chapter 14 and in verse 23, when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. Can you imagine that? In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. Fourth watch of the night is 3 a.m. 3 a.m. between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. After he had sent them away about 6 p.m. to just go and cross the river, they were battling with the water for close to almost 12 hours. And they were just in the middle of the same storm. Where he was praying, he saw their challenge. And he went on them walking on the water to meet them in the midst of the storm. At the place of prayer, he got the revelation. And he worked on the revelation and provided a solution. Tonight as we pray, somebody will get a revelation. A revelation that will bring you deliverance and bring deliverance for your family and bring deliverance for your loved ones. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Also, we saw our Master Jesus where we read in Luke chapter 9, verse 29, I believe. Luke chapter 9, I believe, verse 34, 33, 34. And then he saw, verse 32 now. Back up a bit. Yes. And behold, they had talked with him. Two men, which were Moses and Elias. The Bible said they spoke of his disease, which he should accomplish in Jerusalem. At Jerusalem, they were talking to him about the death he would die. They were giving him directions, information, insight about the death, probably how to go about it. The content of what they said to him was not known to anybody, but they were speaking to him at the altar of prayer. At the altar of prayer. At the altar of prayer. Somebody is going to get clarity. In one area of your life or the other, where clarity is needed, you are going to get that clarity. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Number three is access to ancient mantles. Access to ancient mantles. Mantles are falling. Fresh fire is burning. The oil is dropping. The hand of God is here. Mantles are falling. Fresh fire is burning. The oil is dropping. The hand of God is here. In Luke chapter 9, verse 30 and in verse 31. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and there appeared, and behold, they had talked with him, two men, which were Moses and Elias. And they appeared in glory and spake of his disease. The place of prayer is the place of the appearance of mantles. In Hebrews chapter 12, you know, the place of prayer is the same as a place of appearing before God. Appearing before God, like we said, seeking God. It's the same with what happens when we come to Zion. You say, my house shall be called the house of prayer. So actually, the house of God is a house of prayer. I think that was Matthew 21, verse 15, thereabout. The house of God is a house of prayer. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12, in verse 22 all the way to verse 24, he said, but you have come to Mount Zion. And unto the city of the living God, that is this house of prayer, to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, men, justified men, whose life's journey have already been perfected. Just men made perfect are saints already in heaven. But when we gather in Zion, their spirits or their mantles are available in the midst of the people for the possibility of anyone who is qualified to catch it. That is what happened at the place of prayer. Hallelujah. Before I became a pastor, while I was still in Jaws, young medical doctor, graduation medical doctor, at that time my mouth was almost permanently moving. That is, you have prayed for 3-4 hours in the morning, you are still out in the day, and the burden of prayer was still massive. Then one day, I saw myself, and I sat with three men, and we were talking. I think I've mentioned this before. Three men were talking. Their name was not written on their head, but in the realm of the spirit, you know as you are known. I knew that this was Smith Wigglesworth, this was A.A. Allen, and this was John Wesley. We're in communication. There are others that we have seen and experienced plentifully. But the place of prayer is the place where mantles are transacted. The place where mantles fly. The place where graces can be connected and tapped into. How many of you know that Daniel had a connection with the mantle and the grace of Jeremiah? So you know that. Jeremiah was a foremost intercessor. I don't know whether Jeremiah had not prophesied maybe how many hundred years, I don't know how many years, before Daniel was born. But Daniel anchored. Jeremiah was the weeping prophet, was a prayer man and intercessor. Daniel came and linked up with that same mantle by the mystery of prayer and the word. Because Daniel ransacked the book of Jeremiah. In Daniel chapter 9 verse 2, Daniel said, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understand by the books. Which book? The number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, that's right, the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. The word that came to Jeremiah, who existed many years before me, when he prophesied that Israel would be carried into captivity, he gave the time in which they will be there. 70 years will the captivity be. He continued with the mantle of Jeremiah. And I realized, Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 10, where Daniel saw the prophecy. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Jeremiah fellowshipped with that passage and took it to the place of prayer and became the enforcer of the prophecy of Jeremiah, whose mantle he literally had, as I believe, in revelations, in visions, in intercessions. Somebody say aloud, amen. Don't think that when we talk about mantles, we are only talking about people who are pastors and evangelists. There are wealth mantles. There are wealthy men and women who existed in days past. Abraham carried a mantle that made him blessed in all realms. He was the biggest man in his generation. Solomon had a mantle of royalty and prosperity. David carried a mantle. There are managerial mantles, leadership, administrative mantles. Joseph carried it. Daniel carried it. So there are diverse mantles in Zion. And at the place of prayer, we can connect and tap into these mantles. Somebody getting one tonight, say a loud amen. Somebody shout the loudest amen. Is anybody receiving anything tonight? Shout the loudest amen. Number 4 is access to spiritual capacity enlargement. Spiritual capacity enlargement. The place of prayer is the place where spiritual capacities are enlarged. If you remember, I told you that studying the word is like eating the food. Praying the prayer is like doing the exercise, the workout. Spiritual capacity enlargement. It was at the altar of prayer that Jacob became Israel. As a prince, you have power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Your name shall now be called Israel. And like we have always said, Israel is the name of a nation, whereas Jacob was the name of a person. Also Jabez, that one, he said it in his prayer, that you will enlarge my coast. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4 verse 9 and 10, he said it, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou would bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou would keep me from evil, and that it may not grip me. And God granted him that which he requested. There was a spiritual capacity enlargement that happened at the place of prayer. Until Jabez, like we saw, became a city. 1 Chronicles 2:55, the inhabitants and the occupants of Jabez, families of the scribes which dwelt at Jabez. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. I am sure that you understand capacity enlargement. You have the lawnmower whose assignment is to cut grass. We don't have that in Nigeria, so but this machine, the push that they use to cut the grass, is the lawnmower. Mower. It is a little version of a bulldozer. But the dozer is not used to cut the grass. The dozer is used to uproot trees. There is a Rolls Royce engine for aeroplane. There is one for cars. The difference is capacity. Are you following what I'm saying here today? The car Rolls Royce engine, no matter how much you fire the car, except you want to pieces the car, it will not fly. But the aircraft's Rolls Royce engine, you just go on the tarmac a little bit, and before you can say praise the Lord, you engage the landing gear and the nose is up. And then it's just going. And then it just reaches a level and then begins to cruise. One pilot told me, he said, if the sky is clear, no weather, nothing, by the time he reaches the ultimate altitude, maybe 40 something thousand, he will just press cruise control and go and sleep. Or you go and if the sky is clear and weather is clear, he will just relax himself. He will just be looking at the sea. The thing will take you until it is time to land. You say the next time there is work is when it is time to land. That is if the sky is clear. And if there is no instruction from the control tower to move left or right or down or up. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Because it's just an effortless cruise. That's how that engine works. All is a matter of capacity. We may look alike, but we may not have the same capacity. We may have the same height, but we may not have the same capacity. We may go to the same school, but we may not have. That is the challenge of people in our world today. We were in the same class. Who told you that? Only God knew who was in class with you. Only God knows who is in your class. Somebody say louder, amen. This kind of place we are under now, it takes a divine capacity for it to be conceived first. That a thing like this is a possibility. It's a capacity. That the construction started and they told you the amount of money it will cost. And you don't have hypertension with stroke. It's a capacity. For it to continue and it is finished, it's a capacity. For it to be finished and you believe that it can be filled. Are you following what I'm saying here today? It has overflown many times. And under this temperature that we are on, in a short while, it will overflow many times on Sundays. Many, many, many times. Are you following what I'm saying here today? So that you don't make a car fly if it doesn't have aircraft engine. There are people who have almost killed themselves with competition. They are trying to contend with people that they can't contend with. If horsemen weary you, if footmen weary you, Jeremiah chapter 12 verse 5, what will you do with horsemen? If thou hast run with footmen and they have tired you, then how can you contend with horses? If you want to contend with horses, you need horsepower. Somebody say amen. That is what happens to you at the place of study of the word. That is what happens to you at the place of prayer. That's what happens to you at the place of fasting. That's what happens to you at the place of encountering God. You are just getting larger and larger and larger. You know capacity enlargement? You are a businessman. They gave you a job of 10 billion. You did the job. And you mismanaged that 10 billion until it became 50 million naira. Because that is where your capacity is. If they give you anything more than 50 million, they just want to finish you. You need to have the wisdom, the intelligence, the organization, the structure to manage in billions. If you are going to do that, then you need a capacity enlargement. Give a pastor whose capacity is 100 members. Give him 10,000 people to pass. You only finish him. Pride, arrogance, careless talk to everybody. Do you know who I am? And then until the people drop to 100, where it is his capacity, then he's comfortable there. Somebody say aloud, amen. I believe that tonight, Jehovah God is enlarging somebody's capacity. And if you are the one, say a louder amen. Somebody said he watched a lay video. A pastor, an accountant who is a pastor, was formerly an accountant general in the state. And he said, you are so busy, I don't know how you have time to do all these things. How can you be pastoring and preaching and going all over the world and then you still have the time to sing and then even do video of music? That is, somebody say capacity. It's a God-given capacity. Where you are preparing message, you are preaching on crusades, the sick are getting healed, healing and deliverance service on, seed of destiny is being written. I have a lineup of about 5 to 6 music projects. That is ongoing. I have about 5 to 6 book manuscripts that are available already, at least, for finalization and proofreading and release, that is available already. Crusades is everywhere going on. Churches have been administered worldwide. When you see them on the screen, you see the churches, all of them. They are not on their own. A child left to himself bringeth his father's shame. Are you following what I'm saying here today? So I believe that there are people, I'm not saying nothing to impress you. I believe that there are people here tonight whose capacity Jehovah will enlarge to be able to handle more with your life and to be able to achieve more with the time of your life. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Every containment, every narrowness of capacity, your life, your spiritual life, your destiny appears so narrow. Everything is just so narrow. You attempt little things, you get tired. I decree today that season is over. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loud, must say amen. Lift your right hand and say, I receive capacity. I receive it now. I receive it now. Give the Lord a big clap and a shout of praise. And we might just have to stop with one more tonight. Okay, capacity enlargement. Access to capacity enlargement. And number 5 is access. Or maybe the privilege of life and character transformation. The man who prays is changed by his prayer. Prayer does not only change things, it changes people. Luke chapter 9, verse 29, the Bible said, and as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered. His facial appearance changed. His raiment was white and glistering. In Acts chapter 4 and in verse 13, the Bible said, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. Being with Jesus is the same as seeking God, is the same as being in the place of prayer. They had been with Jesus, and when they saw them, everything had changed. You know, most times testimonies preach message. They preach messages. That little girl, I don't know how old she is, that testified tonight. 12, 13, 14. Battling with the spirit of lies. Is that stubbornness? And then confusion. And then was just pushed through an intercessory processor. She was just processed through a 15-minute tonguing machinery system. Moved from this side and she walked out on the other side. Huh? Refined. Lying gone. In the middle of that, she had an encounter about a wall that was standing that couldn't be broken. And he said, he saw me, I appeared. Whatever it is, broke down the wall. Now you are free. From that day, no more lying, no more confusion. For only 15 minutes of prayer. What about 30 minutes brutality? What about 1 hour brutal? Mahashata kalagayada. Is somebody ready tonight? Is somebody ready tonight? Is somebody ready? Something is about to change in your life. An addiction is going to be broken tonight. The spirit of depression is going to die tonight. Low self-esteem. Take your seat. There is something, you see, when they saw the boldness now, so there are two things you cannot miss when you pray. Spirituality. Let me make it three. Integrity. Audacity. When they saw the boldness, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Spirituality. Integrity. Quality character. You won't be lying like a dog, like they say in America. You will have a conscience that is alive. You will have a conscience that is alive. And then audacity. If there is nothing that the life of prayer has done to me, ruggedity of feeling inferior to nobody under heaven. Anywhere I have been on earth, it's white here, yellow here, brown, black. Whether it's inside the plane or on the ground or anywhere, I don't feel nothing. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. That is what God wants to do. There is a level and you need boldness to face destiny. You want to go for the gold, you need to be bold. You want the silver, you need liver. You know what they call liver in Nigeria? The man gets liver. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You are just ruggedized. At times you see us charging like a lion. How can you combine two natures? One day you are crying because somebody is sick and afflicted. You saw it yesterday. And the tears was not just for that person, but for countless millions globally that the devil put in the prison, fill his heart, his lungs with liver, then cut his leg, put him on oxygen, render him like a vegetable. What a wicked devil. And then that is multiplied around the world. Lord, who shall help these people? And then the other day you are standing and roaring at every devil. So lambic and so lionic. Lamb and lion together. One day I said to my wife, I said, why don't we just find the devil one day and kill him at once? So that all this problem can just finish. Just kill physically and just die at once. So that you will not, the way some of us grew up, if not for the grace of God and for the fire of the Spirit, one would have been a victim of both rejection, low self-esteem, and inferiority complex. But what? Because what they call rejection came and came and came. I won't give details. But you have such a fire from above at the altar of prayer. And a mother who pumped into your head spirituality and made you know you are inferior to nobody. Women, talk to your children. Don't let children grow as if they are growing like goat or cattle. Talk to them. Put in their head what you think they need for the future. Talk to them at a young age as if you are talking to adults. Their spirit will understand. Somebody say amen. So any character you don't like in yourself, in secondary school, even though I was behaving rugged in some ways, I was still timid when it came to facing crowd. I remember the first time I was meant to address the crowd. I was timid. But not now. Now, if the crowd involves demons, and there are millions of them in hell, they can be addressed and dressed down if necessary. Somebody say a loud amen. So I welcome you tonight. We are going to do another 15 minutes immersion in tongues tonight. Anybody who thinks that is a punishment, say amen. I know. Because when I say that we are going to do another 15 minutes immersion, I expected more excitement. Hallelujah. Anything that is not of God in your life, like that girl, anything you are not happy with, maybe you are too shy where you are meant to be bold. Maybe you feel so inferior where you are meant to feel audacious. Maybe you are too afraid of your own shadow, afraid of the future. Anything that is a nature in you that is not meant to be there, you have the capacity to roast it tonight. Stand up on your feet. Even though we have individual services tonight, if there are those connected, you can also let us see them. My conclusion tonight is embark on the prayer of faith with insight. and results must be drastic. Embark upon the prayer of faith with insight, and results shall be drastic. The prayer of faith with insight. Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 6, the Bible said, "But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That is, the insight is, I am not only about to change things by prayer, I'm about to change me by my prayer. And the faith dimension is, I can't pray and go out of prayer the same. Something must happen. Something must happen. Something must shele. Somebody say a loud amen. I'd like you at this moment to turn on the tap of the Holy Ghost. Irrigate your life. Irrigate your destiny. Step into spiritual power. Lift your hands now. I will say, in case you are not yet filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues, when I say in the name of Jesus, I receive. When I say in the name of Jesus, receive the fire of the Holy Ghost. And you said, fire! Shabagadagalagaragabagadagalayada. The Holy Ghost in you will take over your tongue and move you in declarations. Lift your hands and say, Father.
Father,
I come before you today, on this altar of prayer. Thank you for your word.
Thank you for your word
to me tonight.
To me tonight.
As I access supernatural
power
and authority at this altar of prayer. As I access vision, revelation, and direction at this altar of prayer. I connect with ancient mantles on this altar of prayer. Spiritual capacity, enlargement, enlargement at this altar of prayer. Character and life transformation. Father, every character, every nature, every tendency in my life that is not of you, I ask that you will melt it off and melt it away tonight in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, for hearing and answering me in Jesus' name. Lift your hands and say, Father,
Father,
I receive the fire of the Spirit now. I receive. Holy Spirit, take your place in my life tonight in the name of Jesus. Lift your hands. When I say in the name of Jesus, receive the fire of the Spirit. One, two, three, you scream, fire! I declare that you receive the fire of the Spirit tonight. Receive the fire of the Spirit tonight. Now, in the name of Jesus, receive the fire of the Spirit. One, two, and three. Fire! Open your mouth and pray. Raga de la Everywhere you are, the Lord has heard and answered us. Mashata kakalaya. And get ready to receive an impartation of spiritual power, divine vision, revelation, ancient mantles, capacity enlargement, character transformation. It's your answer. people. Father, let the fire flow. Spiritual authority. I declare the fresh release of authority. The fresh release of visions, revelations, directions. Fresh mantles. Spiritual enlargement. Character life transformation. When I say the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream, I receive. And place a hand on your head and begin to blast in tongues. Father, let it be. Mahashada Galayana Haratosana. In the name of Jesus. 1, 2, and 3.
Hands on me, oh Lord, I need your hands.
Put your hands on giving the praise.